Father, we just thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, we praise you, we worship you, Lord. We just want to thank you. You are there. We are not alone in this fight, Father. You never called us to be alone. You never called us to fight this good fight in our own strength. You said you would be with us till the very end. And you also told us your grace would be sufficient for us, O Lord. So even this morning, we commit all the dear ones, loved ones, especially those who are on the battlefront, Father, commit them all into the hands, wherever they are. May your hand rest upon them, empower them, keep them, Lord. For the whole church, this morning, speak to us once again. Prepare us, Lord. That's what you do always, working in us and through us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We go to Revelation 13 and verse 10. Yeah, we are coming to the final period in sinful man's history. That is his last 2.5 years he would give them from the fall. And this is what comes to the end. From there, we know it's just 3.5 years from there. And then that is the end. And we are looking at even, this is the final dividing line where there seems to be no temporal deliverance. Because here the word says, those he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And then comes the rider, the words we are looking at. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And we constantly, every day, when we meditate, study, teach, learn, we work on faith. Because that is the most important. What is most important in the kingdom of God? We need faith. Faith is victory, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. But today we will look at the other one. We need to revisit those topics. Here is the patience of the saints. Why is it so? Because patience is one of God's greatest virtues towards us. And because of that, we are not consumed. Okay, patience. So we need to look at why does God demand, even at that point, he demands patience and faith from the saints. The primary purpose of patience, 2 Peter chapter 3, 8 and 9. Primary purpose. Yeah, chapter 3, 8 and 9. Not Revelation, 2 Peter chapter 3, 8 and 9. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering, other word, patient towards us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. This is his desire, but specifically he's talking about that. None among the elect should be lost. For that, God has to be patient. He has to wait until the last one. Okay, so you need to understand what is the primary purpose of patience. It is a redemption of man. It is a redemption of man that in no one should perish, that everyone should come in, and also they should come into repentance. Those who are saved also come to that fullness of the change in their thinking. Okay, repentance, remember. So, please remember, patience in the Bible is called a fruit, not a gift. Therefore, when it comes to fruit, you need to understand it takes time. It takes time. Gift, you can just receive it in a second. But fruit, no, it takes time, and it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus always expresses life in the Gospels in relationship terms. And please remember, relationships always take time. And one of the ways he expresses is in agriculture terms. He uses terms like seed and harvest, tree and fruit, vine and branches, meaning it cannot be rushed. There is nothing a farmer can do to speed up the harvest. It takes time. It takes time. Okay? And like Sammy sitting over here will suddenly realize parenting takes time. There's nothing you can do to speed up Lemmy or any child. There's nothing. So parents need love. You have all 1, 2, 3, 4 parents sitting over here. Okay. Mine are all grown up, but I need patience to see them deliver and come through. I have to wait. God does things his own time. Because you can't do anything about it. And when your children are small, you need, parents learn patience. And children take their own time to grow. Okay, you cannot do anything about it. It takes its own time. Because patience has to got to do with time. Has to do with time. You would like to hurry them up. It's not going to work. Okay. So one of the first things which you have to do is, because patience has to do with time, you have to trust God's timing. Have to trust God's timing. Jesus had a very different view of time from us. In John 2 and verse 4, he will say, my hour has not yet come. He knew his time had not yet come. In John 17 and verse 1, he would know his hour had come. He said, Father, the hour has come. Okay? So Jesus was very, very conscious about time. He knew when it was not time, and he knew when it was time. Meaning, we learn from him that time worked for him and not against him. Because we always see, even unconsciously when we speak, we always see time has working against us. We say we have not enough time, we are running out of time, time is not on our side. Jesus never said that. Okay, time worked for him. Okay. Work for it, okay? Time and patience go together, okay? To God, a day is like 1,000 years, okay? And 1,000 years is like time, it's like a day, so, okay, the whole concept, okay? We know by now, New Testament uses 2 Greek words for time. One is chronos, and the other is kairos. One is the length of time, the other is the right moment. Both are in God's hand, so be patient. Both chronos and kairos is in God's hand, so we have to trust God's time. Second thing is, you have to see the big picture. So the first thing is trust God's timing, be patient. Okay, be patient. Trust God's timing. Second, see the big purpose. And that's important because we are impatient because we are afraid things will be messed up if we delay. But it is according to our plan, our way, our time, and not God's. Not God's. Okay? If you go to John chapter 11 and verse 21. Okay, it's typical. Typical comment. Put it generally. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She's basically saying you're late. If you had been here, he would have. She had a plan, she had a time, but so had Jesus. So had Jesus. So we have to see, if you don't see the big picture, we will be impatient. Martha was looking or hoping for a healing, but Jesus was planning a resurrection. And so many is true for so many. Homes, marriages, jobs, finances. We are looking for a healing. But God is looking for a resurrection. Resurrection means it's absolutely new. It's new life. It's the Lazarus who came out is not the Lazarus who lived before. It's that death and resurrection, because you never see him sitting with Jesus before that. But after that, you see him sitting. What changed? It is resurrection. So we are always, that's what, you know, we are looking for healing. And we are looking for something that doesn't change the status quo. He's ill, make him well, and life continues as before. That's not what God is planning. God is planning something that is unbelievably radical. It's a resurrection. So that's what it says. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Okay? So God says, be patient. Be patient. Look at the bigger picture. If you go back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So often we think we are the one who are waiting, but actually it is God who is waiting. And God is waiting for us to change. And he gives us the time. We think we are waiting. God says, no, you're not the one who is waiting. I'm the one waiting for you to change. To change our thinking. To get saved. Change our thinking. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Okay. Who were formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited. We thought Noah was waiting. But it was not. It was God who was waiting. The divine long-suffering. Okay, divine patience. Though Noah was waiting, but it was God who was waiting. Okay, so God is waiting. Why is God waiting? He's waiting for them to be ready. Hoping that somebody would, he knows nobody will, but he still waits. Even if we know our children won't change, we still wait. Okay, still wait. Hoping somebody will change. Okay, so God is the one who is waiting. Okay, he's waiting. So, first, trust God's timing. Second thing, look at the bigger picture. The big picture. The big picture is that. So, what do we do? Three, use your waiting room. That is your time wisely. Okay, wisely. And that is one thing, people. That's why, you know, people, now airports has come in. So, it is a different thing. But let me tell you this truth. Before airports came in and these mobiles came in, most people did not know how to wait in the waiting room. Only those who read knew how to wait. Only those who read knew how to wait. Others did not know. They were frustrated. They were going crazy. This thing, you know. But we, even when we were waiting in the queue for a reserve booking those days, okay, you know, it took 1 hour to reach there, but we stood in the queue. And this fellow was complaining, that fellow was shouting, all of them, okay. Because they simply hadn't learned how to wait in the waiting room. Okay, waiting room. Okay, waiting room. Okay, around the 24 years back, when I was working in that college in that country, you know, I had to wait for the carpool, so I had to wait there at the stop for that vehicle to come, and the bus used to come for the students, and the car used to come, one prof had a car. But when I was waiting over there, I used to have my book, of course. No, these gadgets were in there, so I used to be standing there, along with all the kids, and I used to be reading. Then, one day, I saw this police jeep with this thing, lights coming, and the traffic commissioner was going, and he looked at me and said, "Search apes," and he picked a book and showed me. Okay. Then he told me, later he came to the college to address the students on traffic violations and all. Then he looked at them and said, "You know what? Your Sir James taught me 15 years back, and I learned to read from him. So even now, I carry a book with me." Okay. Now, you need to understand how to spend time while waiting. Okay. How waiting. Okay. And patience is not just the ability to wait. It is to maintain a good attitude while waiting. Okay. Because we need to realize God is working during those periods of our lives. Jesus said something, okay. My Father and I had to work from the beginning and are still working. So even when we are waiting, He's still working. He's still working. So when we are in that waiting room period of our time, there are important questions to ask. One of the first questions you have to ask is, what are you waiting for? Or what are you waiting on? In Psalm 40 and verse 31, see the difference. Psalm 40. Sorry, not Psalm, Isaiah, no? Isaiah 40. Isn't that? Yeah. Those who wait on the Lord. This is our issue. Our issue is that often we are waiting for a breakthrough, but we are not waiting on God. Okay. Now the thing is that everybody in the world is waiting for something, but very few are waiting on somebody. Okay. Because most people are waiting for an outcome. And with the passage of time, when that doesn't happen, they lose hope and they lose their strength. So God says, my children have to think differently. You wait on me. Wait for me. If you could turn with me to Psalm 27, you learn from this great man called David. Psalm 27 verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Okay. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Meaning, even though you're waiting for an outcome, don't wait on that. Wait on him. Otherwise, you'll lose hope. People in the world lose hope is because they're not waiting on God. They're waiting for something. And when it does not happen, what happens is they lose their strength. They lose their hope. But God says, no, wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Because for us, you cannot wait for something unless that something has been promised by him. So if he has promised you something, then you wait on him to bring it to pass. You wait on him to bring it to pass. That is what it means, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Meaning, as you're waiting on the Lord, you are not getting discouraged. If you're waiting for that, you will get discouraged. The passage of time, the temporal starts eating up and you will start saying, okay, I'm getting older. What's the point? You will start talking negatively to you because you associate all that thing with this temporal time. What's the point? Even if it comes, I'm too old to enjoy it. All those things starts. And then, no, we start making rash decisions to speed up the process. Instead, what happens? We delay the process. So the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. If you turn with me to Psalm 37 and verse 7. Yeah. 37:7. Okay. Rest in the Lord. While you're waiting on the Lord also, it's a different usage. You wait, you can wait and be restless. He says, no, wait on the Lord against David, okay? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Patiently for him. In the meantime, don't fret because of that fellow who's got his breakthrough. Because he speeded up the process through different ways. But you know his end. Because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. You don't fret because of that. Don't get tempted by that to take a shortcut. Don't get tempted because of him who prospers. You don't fret because you say, I'm also waiting for my breakthrough. He's also waiting for his breakthrough. But his breakthrough has come. But you don't know how it came. You don't know how it came. He says, don't fret because of him. One, rest in the Lord. To wait patiently for him to bring it to pass. And third, stay calm. Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't fret. Okay? It's children fret. Okay, children fret. If you go to Psalm 40 and verses. Yeah, 1 to 3. 40, 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. But why did it all happen? It all happened because I waited patiently for the Lord. That's the reason it happened. Okay. It's not an easy thing, but God says it demands because. Okay. So while you are waiting on the Lord, please remember this. We don't sit in an easy chair. Stay focused. Keep working. Okay. Give it your best, like Joseph. Okay. You will see that period of his life, he worked the hardest. Yet he's waiting. Because a lot of people think waiting means do nothing. God says, no, that's not what it means. You keep yourself busy. Keep yourself doing what you're called to do. Okay? Now, there is usually another word that is used with patience. That is the word long-suffering or tribulation. Okay? Which is used with patience. Okay? In simple words, it means pain. Okay. So when you are being patient, waiting patiently, you will have to suffer long. You will have to endure pain. So he says, that's why you wait on the Lord. Otherwise, what will that pain do? It will make you a patient. That's why they're all connected. Patience, pain, patient, they're all connected. Okay. If you do not know how to wait on the Lord, you will end up as being a patient. Anxiety, worry, all kind of diseases, everything will come. Because you are waiting for something, you are not waiting on somebody. Okay, so we have to. So there is this word called suffering use, called long suffering. In the book of Revelation begins, we are introduced to John. This is how we are introduced to John in Revelation 1 and verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Okay. By the time he comes to this stage in his life, he needed the patience of Christ to survive. Other saints are there. We are surrounded by a cloud of saints. We have the patience of Noah, celebrated in the Bible. We have the patience of Job, celebrated in the Bible. But now, he has the patience of Jesus Christ. Okay, so a patience also has its yardsticks. Okay, because there are certain people in the Bible who are commended for their patience. Okay, the patience of Abraham, all that is there. So the Bible says, here am I, your brother and companion, in the tribulation, that means long suffering, intense suffering, and kingdom, and patience of Jesus Christ. That is how we are introduced to John in this book. Okay. So we have different words that are used with that. We have the word patience, we have the word long-suffering, we have the word endurance, we have the word perseverance. All are used, okay? Some scholars say long-suffering is used with patience. It's connected to difficult people in your life. While endurance is used with difficult circumstances in your life, okay? One is got to do with people and the other is got to do with circumstances. Okay, you can read it that way if you want. But the thing is this, unless we see God's purpose, we will give up. We will not be patient. Okay, the first purpose we need to see is salvation. Second purpose we need to see is the ultimate eternal rewards. Two purpose we have to see. Okay? When it comes to salvation, we look at 1 Peter 1:9. Okay, 1 Peter 1:9. Got it? Okay. 1:9. What is receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls? Okay. It's our total, complete redemption. Okay. Because we don't see what God sees. We don't see what God sees. We think we have arrived. God says you haven't even come half the journey I had determined for you. Okay. The end, the salvation of our soul, meaning the complete. Let us take an old car. If you have to renew it and make it completely new, you have to change everything. You have to change everything. Everything. Okay. I mean, you can't make an old car new. You have to literally buy a new car. Okay. Now, that is God. What is God doing with us? The problem is we are looking at our bodies. We are not looking at our souls. He says, I'm going to change your thinking completely, that your mind will be new. Renew. New mind. You won't. You have to allow me to. I need time with you. So that you think completely differently about every issue of life. Two, accordingly, I will change the way you feel. Your emotions have to be totally be sanctified, made new. And then your will apply to it. Okay. That is the end of our faith, the salvation of our soul. And that's why God is patient. Because he knows the problem is most people will not reach the end of the road. Before that, they will give up. They will quit. They get distracted. They don't, you know, they give up. Very few. There are theologians who say that among the saved of all the centuries, the kings of the earth are the 144,000. There will be only 144,000 overcomers. They will rule. And the others will be under them. The rest of humanity that are saved will be under them. And if you read about them, you will see how they came through. How they came through in that context. I do not know. Anyway, these are all things we will see when we reach heaven, what happens. Okay. But this is the primary. That is why faith and patience are used together. In 13:10 we saw this calls for the patience and the faith of the saints. What is the end of faith? The salvation of your soul. Okay. This here is the patience and the faith of the saints, because we are looking at, Lord, get me out of this. God says, you don't worry. I'm in control. I'm absolutely in your control. I know exactly. It's tailor made for you. You are saying, get me out of it. I'm trying to change you. You want to come out before you are changed. He says, then you defeats my purpose. It defeats my purpose. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 and we read from 12 to 15, again that combination will come. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Okay. The problem is that we look at the promise, but we don't see the promise is God to do. Before the promise, you can inherit the promise. You need to grow up to inherit the promise. Inherit. Okay. Like even today, we know in our natural, this thing also we know. If you are a parent and your children are all under age and you know you are in your deathbed, you leave a will saying that they will inherit it only after 18, because they know, you know, they haven't reached the maturity. Okay, you haven't reached the match. Even in rulership, that used to what's happened when the king died and the prince was very young. You had somebody, a regent, who ruled on his behalf. And it's when the child reached that age, then he was crowned as a king. So that's what God is talking about. You have a promise. But that promise can be inherited only through faith and patience. And if you come down, he calls you the father of faith. For when? When Abraham, God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater. He swore by himself saying, surely I will bless you and multiply, I will multiply you. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now let me ask you the question. Where is the problem? The problem is not with God, it's with Abraham. The problem. It's only when he turned 99, actually he reached 100. He reached that maturity to have Isaac. Okay. He had the physical ability to create Isaac, but he did not have the spiritual maturity to create Isaac, because Isaac is of God. Okay. When a girl reaches puberty, she has the physical and biological ability to become a mother, but she doesn't have the spiritual maturity to become a mother. These are two different things. Okay, that's why we tell, no, people work hours and weeks and spend tons of money for a wedding while never preparing for a marriage. Never preparing for a marriage is a very intense thing. It demands faith and patience, because it's two different people coming together which demands change. Demands change. You cannot change your wife, or you cannot change your husband. So what do you need? You both need faith and patience. Okay. And this is our problem. This is where patience come in and faith comes in and promise comes in. There's a promise. What is a promise? The two shall become one. But it doesn't happen instantly. For that two to become one of one mind, what do you need? First, you need faith. You need faith. Because faith is the key, is the substance of things hoped for. Where does the faith come from? The faith comes from a promise. So there is if you talk about marriage, there's an incredible promise about marriage. The first statement that is made before the fall, and that statement is the entire picture of Christ and the church. The two shall become one. When you're talking about two shall become one, what does it mean? It actually mean their thought life, their emotional life, and their will shall become one. That is what you see in Revelation 14. Later we will see the Lamb, the 144,000. They go wherever the Lamb goes. He can lead them without reservation, because they have become of one mind. So in a husband and a wife, in a marriage, the oneness comes through Christ. He's the one. Otherwise, the husband will say, you become like me. But the problem is, he's an imperfect man. The wife will say, no, you become like me, but she is an imperfect woman. So the perfect one is three. That's why in Ecclesiastic, he says a threefold cord. And if in a threefold cord, you will see that the center cord is in which the other two are wound. So Christ is the person. So the question is not whether the husband is right or the wife is right. The question is, what would Christ do? That is the question. Otherwise, what you will have is an abusive relationship. The question is, what would Christ do? Okay? We need to understand, this is where patience comes. So, patience and faith comes. You take patience out, nothing will work. Okay? Nothing will work, because you need to know the end of faith. What is the end of faith? The end of faith is the salvation of our soul. The question is, when my soul is completely saved, what does my soul look like? Answer, Jesus. To be conformed to the image of Christ. That is the end, God's end goal. But he says, if some theologians are right, he says only 144,000 from Abel onwards, the entire 6,000 years of human history, millions upon millions have come through, 144,000 will reach my purpose. The rest will all fall short. I don't know. It's a presumption. I don't know. This is what the Bible is talking about. If you go back to Romans chapter 8, 28, 29. 28, 29, no? We know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Okay. Now, the first thing there it talks about, okay, the first thing it talks about is that those who love God. Okay, love God. It's important. Why is it important? Because if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4, first in NKJV and then maybe you can have an NIV also. 13:4. Okay. Love suffers long and is kind. In NIV it will say love is patient. So, all things work together for those who love God. They are willing to suffer long. And they are patient for God's purpose to be fulfilled in their lives. Okay. Because love is more than a feeling. Okay. It's more than a feeling. So the first thing it says is that all things work together for those who love God. Okay. And you will always see that, you know. Why is that in highly civilized nations? Okay. The blue part of US, most of Europe, Japan and all. Why is that people are not getting married anymore? And the women are not having children. Because they have no patience. Why do they have no patience? Because they don't love children. They don't love people anymore. So they don't have patience. Okay. One of the first things, this is the first definition of love in Corinthians is love is patient, love suffers long and is kind. Okay, is kind. And one of the reasons they don't want to have children, one of the reasons they are fighting for abortion is because they don't want a pregnancy. Why are they so vehemently against pregnancy, which is the birthing of life? And we need to ask this question, what is the reason? It's simply because they don't love. They don't love. Okay. So they cannot suffer long. They cannot be patient and still be kind. And we need to realize this is what happens. Okay. And God says you cannot be like that in the kingdom, because in the kingdom you're all there for 6,000 years is because I'm patient. I am patient. Okay. So we need to understand, because Jesus looks at life always in terms of relationship. God says, he says, God is patient. So you need to be patient. And you need to be kind. Okay, in the process, you need to be kind. Okay, so we are all caught in this. In homes, in workplaces, in schools. Like we have a school in schools. Because children take time to learn. Some kids are slow in learning. Slow. All children are not geniuses. Some children are very slow. Okay, slow. Okay, I know I was a classroom teacher once. My heart used to go for those kids, because you know what? These are first generation learners and they are struggling, and you have to learn Shakespeare of all things. So I had to come back. I used to sit with them and say, okay, you just pass. It doesn't matter if you don't fully understand Shakespeare. I'll tell you how to go through it. Say, yeah. Sir, I didn't understand. I said, it is okay. I'll try to explain to you. Okay. And the smart ones, I'll just shut your mouth and sit there. Okay. Don't. There are others here. You're all writing the same exam. No, you don't need help. But these needs help so you don't become a stumbling block. Because the whole idea is there is an exam coming. And that exam will decide your life. Decide your life. So we need to realize, you know, in relationships, one of the most important things is that you need patience. So the Bible says, all things work together for the good of those who love God. Because those who love God are patient. They're waiting for it. And my God promised. I don't know how long it will take, but I know it will come through. Because the one who promised is faithful. Faithful. So I'm willing to be patient. I'm willing to be patient. And it says, work that in. He's willing to be patient. And the second thing is, according to his purpose. What is his purpose? His purpose is that we are be conformed to the image of his son. And when we look at it, we will realize, Lord, if that is your purpose, I need time. I need time to become like him, Lord. I need time. And all these things are working towards that purpose, and not just the breakthrough. Okay. We are looking for a breakthrough. Okay. We think that's the purpose. God says, no, that is not the purpose. The purpose is to make you like him so that you can enjoy your breakthrough. Otherwise, the breakthrough will destroy you. Go to James chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. The intent. 5, 10 and 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. Okay, in his case, it's a temporal, but in our case, it's an eternal. What is the end intended by God? The Bible says, at that day, we shall be as he is. We do not really see ourselves that way, but this is on that day, we shall be as he is. This is the end intended. We don't see that. We will short circuit God's intention. Because what is the end intended? That is the second purpose. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. This is God's desire. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my father on his throne. To which church is he saying? The church in Laodicea. What happened to Laodicea was that they became successful before time. See, you can be, even a Christian can be successful before time if he starts using all worldly means. Now what has happened is, they don't have the character. They have the resources, but they don't have the character. So they're saying, we are rich, we lack nothing. And God says, did you take a look inside? I look outside, yes, you got it, you got it all, you got this. Mansion, you got these 5 cars parked outside, your church is overflow, I see it all, but when I look at inside, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. Nothing has changed inside. So he is saying, this is my intended end for my children. What is that? They should reign with me. They reign with me. This is the ultimate reward. So if you look at 3 important characters in the old covenant connected with that, with reigning, one is Joseph, he becomes king, ruler. Another is Moses, he becomes ruler of Israel. Literally, he was the leader. And the third is David. And you will realize one of the greatest virtues needed in a ruler, because we are talking about reigning, right, is patience. The ability to be patient with people, because that's a characteristic of God. Patient means, you know, one of the things, see, this same word is used in different terms in the Bible. One of the things about God written over and over in the Bible is that he is slow to anger. That means he's very patient, very, very patient, slow to anger. So he had designated, Joseph did not know, he had designated 13 years for Joseph. He patiently endured 13 years. 40 years for Moses. Because at 40, Moses was a hot-tempered young man. He had learned administration, but he hadn't learned how to control his anger. Control his anger. At 80, he's a meek, patient man, ready to lead an impossible set of people. You can't blame them. They were slaves. Okay, they are slaves, suddenly set free, and they don't know what to do. And you need a man who knows what to do with them. Be patient. Be patient. Okay, be patient. You need to realize God is telling in other ways to Moses, you have to be patient with them for 40 years in the wilderness, as I was patient with you in the wilderness for 40 years. I waited for you to get ready for 40 years. Okay? So that's why God was upset with him when he struck the rock. He says, why were you upset? I am not upset. Why are you upset? Okay? So we need to understand. Okay? So David, they say 14 years on the run. Okay. Failed many times, but experienced God's patience. So he learned to be patient with others, even like absolute rogues like Shammai. He learned to be patient. Okay. That's what the Bible talks about. Patience and faith, they go together. If you turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This is talking about character. Okay. So he says, you have to allow patience to finish its work. So at 30, God said, you have reached your work, Joseph. You can come out. Okay. Now, the promise given to Joseph in both the dreams is one thing. If you come through, he doesn't know the process he has to go through. The promise given to him is that you shall reign. You shall reign. Okay. And he doesn't really understand the process. Now, if you look at him, in Potiphar's palace, if he had given to that temptation, he would have reigned, but in just that household. That would have been the end of the dream. After he was thrown into prison, if the butler or the cupbearer who went back to the Pharaoh and said, there is a young man, would you please put in a good word and release him? He would have gone ahead of time. And we have 100 different ways how his life would have ended. We don't know what would have happened to him, because he would have gone before God's intended work. But when God's intended time came in, and he patiently endured, intended time came in, what happened is God released him, because found he's ready. Okay, and that's what Psalm 105 says, and the word of the Lord tested him. And once it is proved, the king released him and made him ruler over his people. This is what God is talking about. If we don't see that, because us, everybody in our churches, everybody is waiting for the breakthrough. Okay, but the question is, the breakthrough will come. Even if the breakthrough doesn't come, it will still come eternally. It will come. If you understand God's purpose. Okay. Because in the Bible, when we are looking at all this in illustrations, these illustrations are all temporal breakthroughs and temporal reigning. What God is promising is something that is eternal. And our temporal breakthrough is not connected to that. Or it does not have to necessarily come. So if you go there, that's what it is talking about. If you come to James chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8, we looked earlier at 10 and 11, 7 and 8. This is put across very powerfully. 5. Therefore be patient, brethren. When? Till when? Until the coming of the Lord. Because that's a real breakthrough. What is a real breakthrough is that it does not matter what you receive on earth, your body will fail you. It's degenerating. It is disintegrating, literally. So it does not matter what breakthrough you get over here. Your body will fail you. So the ultimate breakthrough is this. In this life, you reach that character which God has designed for us, and the Lord comes. And you receive a body where it is forever. That's what it says. Until, how long do you have to be patient, brethren? Until the coming of the Lord. And then he brings the farmer over there. Again in verse 8. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is understood. So there it is brought two verses back to work. What is it said? It's talking about the coming of the Lord. And Revelation 22, the final chapter, if I'm right, three times the Lord says, behold, I'm coming soon. And in verse 12, he says, my reward is in my hand. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. That is the real breakthrough. You get everything on earth, and yet you lose, or in heaven, you still have lost. You received nothing on earth, yet you receive everything on in heaven, you're still a successful person. You're still victorious. And that's what God is talking about. So God says, keep your eyes, even as you're waiting patiently for the breakthrough in the temporal, keep your eyes on the eternal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that is that awesome verse 16 to 18. 4. Therefore we do not lose heart. Why? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Why? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now he's able to see, look at all with a different eyes altogether. It's not a moment. For him, it's years and years and years. Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why? We do not look at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And in Romans 8 and verse 18, the same thing is mentioned again. Okay, 8:18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Okay, so it's not what we are waiting on whom we are waiting on, because the one who promised is faithful. Okay, the one who has promised. So God says, you have this choice. I think it's Charles Stanley who said, if you want God's best, you have to be patient. It's a very simple line. If you want God's best, very simple line. If you want God's best, you have to be patient. If you don't want, be impatient. Okay. God has his best. If you want God's best, you have to be patient. Okay. So it's with patience and with faith we inherit the promises. Okay. There are a lot of people who are patient, but they have no faith. There are people who have faith, but they are not patient. And God says no. Okay? By faith, you can grab your patience, your promises beforehand and then lose it all. And lose it all. Okay? Or you can be patient. That's what we see literally Solomon losing it all. Because one thing he did not have is that he didn't have his father's character, because he didn't go through what his father went through. Therefore, it was not built in him. Okay, that's why it is important that we parents who came through difficult periods and then God kind of prospered us, don't try to make life easy for our children. Life easy for our children. Let them also learn to understand life is not easy. And the problem is if you make it easy for them, they don't learn the virtues which are learned only in certain settings. Okay. And that is what is important, that whereby we are not doing them a favor. We are harming them. Okay. That doesn't mean we need to punish them. Okay. That's what Paul tells Timothy. Endure hardship as discipline. Hardship as discipline. Okay, so we have to be very, very careful, because sometimes we don't see the way God sees life. Because we think, okay, I went through all that. Now I don't want my child to go through. And we will see by the next generation, they are gone. Like there was a generation that came out of Egypt. They were slaves. They had no character at all, and they wandered and perished in the wilderness. But the hardship of the wilderness framed another generation. They possessed, and the third generation fell away. Because they didn't have to fight. The parents had fought for them, and they had peace at all side houses. They did not build wells. They did not dig. Everything was done for them. So, the same thing. We had to do everything on our own when we were growing up. Our children have to do nothing for themselves. You know what? They fall away. They fall apart. Because, okay. So that is a choice you have to make. You have to make is to make them responsible for their own decisions, their lives, so their Lord. Otherwise, what will happen is, you know, it will not work, because God is ultimately looking to create that character in us, the character. So even his own son, the Bible says, he learned obedience through suffering, through the things he suffered. And when you have made perfect, perfect, he became. Okay. So get that picture, that picture, because the reason is that we are living in a time where everything is instant. Even Amazon Prime has in same day delivery. You don't have to wait for anything. Almost every app people have in their phones is connected to how fast you can get. They're competing with each other. That fellow gives 15 minutes, we guarantee you 10 minutes. So, coffee is instant. Microwave makes everything is, teaches you to be impatient. Yeah, it's the whole new, this current world is primed in to make you impatient. Yet the virtue in the kingdom of God is patience. And the question is, how do you live in this life, use these gadgets and still be patient? Gadgets are neutral. They are very useful. But that gadget should not get into your head that you become impatient with people. And impatient because God is not working things out in your life according to your timeline. That's why that word, don't fret. Don't fret. Wait patiently, because anxiety, fret, everything creates diseases inside you. You start, your BP starts going up. You can start having all kind of diseases. And God says, no. Be still, be still. I'm working it out for you. No? I mean, there's no record of Joseph being ill. Okay, considering what he went through, okay, or no, or Jesus being ill, or Paul getting beaten up and being ill, okay. The reason is they learned something, and these are fundamental, because we need to understand a part or a major part of the health of our body is determined by our soul. That's part which you have to do for our body, like eating healthy, drinking and exercise, another part. But there is something that is determined by our soul. Okay. And that is why the merry heart is like good medicine. The Bible says envy is rottenness to the bone. He gave them what they asked. He sent leanness into their soul. So you will see the soul affects the body. So when God says, be patient. He says, don't fret. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Be careful about anger. Handle all this. He's talking about our health. He's talking about our health, because ultimately you need a body to serve God. Serve God. I keep telling. This is the only profession, if you want to use a career, where you should be getting better with age. Because you're walking with a person. Unlike other careers, you have to always, like, you know, like even if you're a doctor, even if you're a doctor, the problem is the field is advancing. So if you really want to be good, you have to sit and study, which your brains may not work. But with God, you're walking with a person. So the older, that's why the Bible is actually talking about Moses, is because he walked with God. He's walking with God at 120. Why is he like that? Why is Caleb like that? It's because of the nature of their spirit, which was influencing their body. So the whole question is, if that is what we are all supposed to be, don't ruin your body. Don't ruin your body. Because you will be of more use to God in your old age than in your young age. Therefore, learn not to fret. Learn, teach. You have to, like David, you have to learn to talk to yourself. And my God will take care of it. I trust him. I will wait. I will wait patiently. Speaking to him, my soul, wait patiently for the Lord. patient. He will come through. Isn't he the one who started, gave you the promise? Isn't the reason why you started on this journey? Did you start on your own or did you start because of him? He was the prime mover. Then wait. He will bring you to pass. You have to. Otherwise what will happen is that anxiety will come, worry will come, and it will start affecting us. Because God will do, and the Bible talks about how he does in time. The Bible says he makes all things beautiful in his time. And if you look at Joseph's life, he made all things beautiful. Not only did he raise him and become governor, he married, he had two children, he had reconciled with all his brothers, he brought his father, he took care of his father died, blessed all the children. Everything was made beautiful only for Joseph, not for anybody else. Only for Joseph. If you look in that entire family, for Joseph, all things were made beautiful because he waited for God's time. And God did it in his time. And these are the pictures God is giving us. And that is who God is. Okay, you have to always look and remember he's good. And when we use that word, God is good, we don't even know what that good means. What do we relate to good to? I had a good meal and God is good. No. What is this good? Okay, when we say God is good all the time and all the time God is good, we have to wait patiently for him to work it out. And then we shall have Peter and we shall pray. Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing. Okay, because people will say patience means now do nothing. No, keep fighting the good fight of faith. Okay, keep fighting. Don't grow weary. Keep fighting because you don't know the day. Only he knows the day. So he says, when the master arrives, blessed is the servant who has found watching. You don't know which hour he will come. Morning up, midday, midnight, you don't know. That means even when you are patiently waiting, you are on the job, watching, fighting that good fight, and okay, fighting because don't get it the other way. I will wait patiently. God says no. You don't know when the day the master comes.
Wait upon the Lord. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings like eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach us, Lord, how to wait. Oh, they that wait on you, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, faint. Teach us, Lord, how to wait. Oh, yes, they'll wait on you. They'll wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings like eagles. They shall teach us, Lord, teach us, Lord, how to wait. Teach us, Lord, how to wait. Teach us, Lord, teach us, Lord, teach us, Lord, how to wait.
just thank you. We just thank you, Lord, for being so patient with us, O Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Every day that you added to our lives was a testament of your patience with us. You have given us day after day, year after year, patiently waiting for us to change and to be conformed to the image of your Son, who is the express image of the Father. To this purpose we were called, yet we forget that purpose most of the time, O Lord. Father, this morning, once again as a church, as your people everywhere, we surrender ourselves, Lord, into your hands.
Yes, Lord.
Believing and confessing that you make all things beautiful in your time. Help us to wait. Help us to believe. Help us to fight. Help us to watch. Help us to be patient through it all. With long-suffering and yet be kind, O Father. Because you are long-suffering towards us and yet you are kind. During the days of Noah, Lord, the thoughts and intentions of every man was evil continuously. Yet you were kind to them. You fed them. You protected them. You kept them. Because that's who you are. And you are teaching us to be like you, to wait, to wait. For those who wait on the Lord, your word says, shall renew their strength. They shall not grow weary, but they shall suddenly mount up like eagles. It will come. Help us to watch. Help us to pray, Father. So this morning I commit all the dear ones everywhere, Lord. Millions upon millions of people waiting, waiting, praying, watching. But the Lord who promised is faithful. You will come and you will come through for your people.
Yes, yes, you will. You will.
Help us to see the intended end. That as it was in the life of Job, Lord. Because the plans that you have for us are good. We have no evil plan for any of your children. They are all good. With an intended purpose, Lord, an end.
Lord.
Help us to walk with you.
Yes, Lord.
And not walk contrary to you.
Yes, Lord.
To work with you.
Yes.
And not to work against you.
Yes. Yes,
your will,
yes.
Your plan.
Father,
so help us, Lord.
Thank you.
Help everyone out there, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Many weary, many tired,
Jesus.
Many frustrated.
Thank you, Lord.
But Lord, you will come through.
Yes, yes.
You will come through.
Yes, Lord.
You will come through.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You will come through. That is who you are. You will come through, Father.
Jesus,
we take now authority in the name of
Jesus.
We bind every power of darkness, every demonic entity that is operating against the church, every demonic entity that has been released, the mind-blinding spirits that have been released. We bind you in the name of Jesus and we send you back right from where you came. No weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Every lying tongue that rises against us in judgment, in witchcraft, in sorcery, in rituals, we cancel your effect in the lives of God's people in the name of Jesus. And we speak healing, we speak deliverance, we speak salvation into every life. That is our inheritance, O Lord. That is what you give us, O Lord. You have turned our curse into a blessing, O Father. Our poverty to riches. Our weakness into strength, O Father. And we who are redeemed by Christ will say so, O Father. This is what the Lord has done, and it is beautiful in our eyes, O Father. We will declare your praises. We will declare your glory. We will declare your honor. We will declare who you are, great and mighty, from everlasting to everlasting. You are on the throne, and your kingdom and your throne is forever and ever, Lord. We just thank you, Father. We just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So once again, in your house, as your people, we declare, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Jesus.